little bit eventually adds up to the whole elephant, right? I need an elephant. And so a little bit does eventually add up to a lot. And of course, we began speaking about that in terms of the manna that the Lord provided to sustain the spiritual lives, if you will, the physical lives of the children of Israel in the wilderness. We spoke about the wilderness of this world, of which we're all in as Christians and we're walking with the Lord, and that God has provided the manna of his word to sustain us, to keep us alive. And that as Israel was given manna every day to go and gather up, and they were specifically told, go each and every day and get for yourselves food that I'm providing to sustain your life. So the Lord has provided his word to sustain our spiritual lives. And the power of every day is that we find ourselves, and we talked about this, we tried to give some everyday practical advice on how to do our devotions, but it is keeping our devotional lives every day, getting into the Word. We spoke about that. And I wanted to just talk with Mike a little bit about that. And, hey, Mike. This is Mike Lafferty, if you don't know, but Mike is one of our leading men and leaders in the congregation. And Mike is also my friend. And I just wanted to ask him a couple of questions as we're talking about this, you know, the power of every day. And so, Mike, you work a 40-hour week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's where? Middletown?
Middletown, yeah.
What at?
Middlesex Hospital.
So Middlesex Hospital. Cool. And you're a physician. You wish. but anyway, so you live in Watertown.
Yes.
So you commute to work. So what time do you leave in the morning?
About 10 after 7.
10 after 7 every morning. And what's it take you to get to work?
About an hour.
So, anyways, so you're up and at it, and you gotta, you know, hustle through. So let me ask you, you know, what's your devotional life like? I mean, what do you? Good grief! You know, when are you doing? Do you do devotions? When are you doing?
Yeah, I do devotions first thing in the morning.
So first thing in the morning, which is
usually I get up at 6 o'clock. My normal get ready type of thing and spend the half hour before I leave for work doing the book.
So about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you're off running to work. Okay, so is that easy to do?
No. I like sleeping.
Do you ever skip it and sleep it?
Yes.
Yeah. You do. I'm going to sleep. Of course. So you miss. So what do you do when you miss?
Just pick up the next day where I left off.
You pick up the next day where I left off. So would you say that throughout the years you've been pretty consistent with that kind of routine?
Yes.
Okay. So morning works best.
Yes.
Have you ever done devotions in the
evening?
Yeah. Okay. It's a little harder. Yeah, you want to miss, and you really want to miss, right? Exactly. So you've been pretty consistent in doing morning devotions before you go off.
Yeah, I do the Bible in a year type of thing.
Okay.
And then usually, like now, I'm actually still doing last year. So I'm about 2 weeks behind.
Okay.
So out of 365, I don't think that's too bad.
Okay.
So I end up, I think I'm on day 360 or something like that.
Okay. All right. So that's your plan. Your plan is to read through the whole Bible in a year.
Yeah.
So you start in Genesis and work all the way through?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so very cool. And so you got behind, that's from sleeping in, I would think. But
sometimes I'm the fire department, so sometimes I get alarms during the night, and when I come home, I'm pretty tired, so I reset the alarm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Half hour, so.
Yep, absolutely. But then you pick it up, as you said, and try to stay consistent.
Yep.
Okay, well, very good. Thanks, Mike. Cool. Now, Yeah, come on, give him a hand. Thanks, Mark. So, you know, the power every day, there was a lot of good stuff that came out of it. Now, listen, I know that there are a lot of, not only variables in our lives, but there's a lot of life to our lives. Let's add some life to our lives. Kids. You know, I'd be normal if it wasn't for my kids. I really would. Right? But seriously, though. So now, you know, we're going to add our kids, especially when our kids were young, where, you know, you say, well, okay, yeah, right, I'm going to get up and read my Bible and have devotions, and but then I got my kids. But, you know, of course, you know, Mike, we should interview Sheila. We'll interview Sheila next week.
And ask if what Mike said was true.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be the first thing. But the deal is that that there are a lot of things, and so one of the things, you know, I'll just bring out from what Mike said. First of all, you know, though you know he missed or whatever, it wasn't like, well, I'm you know, I can't do it, so I quit. No, you just pick it up and keep going. The other thing is this, you know, you're not looking to do, you know, it's not like you're setting unreachable goals for yourself. In other words, it's like, you know, I'm going to get up and I'm going to have devotions for an hour every day. No, you know, about 30 minutes, however long it might take to read, you know, your 3 or 4 pages and say a couple of prayers, meditate, whatever, before you're out the door, and off you go. Because the deal is that if you shoot for the moon and hit the trees, well, you're discouraged. But if you shoot for the trees and then hit the moon, well, hey, wow. And that's how it's got to go with devotions. And then, like I say, throwing in the other stuff in life. Hey, you know, you get calls in the middle of the night if you're a volunteer fireman. Well, you got to readjust. If you have children, you have to adjust in that way. My wife, Sandra, you know, we had 3 kids growing up, and she always maintained her devotion to life, I mean, you know, to this day. And she has. I mean, I had to deal with the kids as well in the mornings. I'm not lying, just not every morning. Just not most mornings. And you know, so it's tough, but it is tough. And so you're careful on, you know, the goals that you set, but just kind of remembering. And I just wanted you to hear it from, you know, a guy in our congregation that's doing it. I mean, he's, you know, got the pressure of a job and a commute and time stuff and so on, and stuff happens. I mean, he has 2 girls, and though those girls are grown and in college or out of college, they still cause grief. I know Sarah and Courtney, they still cause grief. There's stuff, you know, the cars break down, and this, and you got to run here, you got to do that. Hey, you know. And, you know, Mike thanks God for his wife, Sheila, who, you know, snow blows the driveway, takes care of the leaves, and all of that. But seriously, you know, in talking about the power of every day, a little bit every day eventually adds up to a lot. And just remembering that, you know, the everyday practice of devotions means that you're going to use that power of every day. It will work in your advantage. In as much as, you know, interest works for you, or it can what? Really work against you. And the little bit every day of interest either works for you or against you. And then, you know, it's something that you have to commit to. It's set goals. For instance, Mike has a goal where he's reading through the whole Bible. Set a goal. And then mix it with prayer. So that's what we spoke about last week as we're talking about this, you know, in our spiritual life week, new beginning. I want to pick that up, our spiritual life week, and I want to bookend this week, this Sunday, you know, the first bookend being the power of every day. And now speak about the power of every word. From the scripture verse, Deuteronomy 8, and Jesus used it against the devil, where he said that people don't live, we don't live by what? Bread alone, but by, who knows? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So there it is, the power of every word. Power of every word. So we're bookending. The power of every day, the power of every word. And as is our custom, let's read a couple of scripture verses, okay? And I would like to start in Colossians chapter 3, where Paul is giving practical advice for devotions, we could say, for living to Christians, to us. And in Colossians chapter 3, in the first part of verse 16, I just want to look at it there. The first part of verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You got it? I'll wait. I still hear leaves rustling in the wind or snow being swept around by the wind. You got it? Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, 16. And just the first part of it, where he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let me just pray for us. Father, as we consider these things now in our moments together, the power of every word, that is the power of every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the power of the Bible, pray that you'd speak to us and that this word would be formative in our lives according to your purpose. Amen. Okay, so what's it say? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then, going to Psalms, the book of Psalms, and I want to start real quick by reading Psalm 19, one verse. In Psalm 19, one verse from there, and then we're going to turn over and camp in Psalm 119, and three verses from there as we go. So there it is. You ready? He says, Psalm 19 in verse 10, speaking of the words of Christ, speaking of those every words that proceed from God's mouth, speaking of the scripture that we have in front of us, the Bible that you're holding on your lap, it says, they are more precious than gold. There is no more precious metal than gold. There is no more precious metal. And he says, they are more precious than gold, that is God's word, than much pure gold. So gold refined to its purest. His words, these words, this word that you're holding in your lap is of more value than if you were to hit the Mega Millions. Oh, it is. Better give that up than turn in your Bible. Absolutely. Better turn that in. Keep both would be okay, too. And so, the value of these words, the power of every word, is found in their value. The value of these words is beyond estimate. You know, what kind of price tag can we put on these words? He says to us in this verse of Psalms, he says, it goes beyond pure gold. You can't put a price tag. It's inestimable, the value of this word. They are more precious than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And so I want to ask the question and answer it quickly before us, and the question is this: how is its worth, How does its worth, how does its value work in my life? How am I influenced by its wealth? So when we talk about wealth, all too often, more often than not, we use the adjective affluence, right? And so you have people of wealth who have affluence. They have the nice homes, they have, you know, all this stuff and recognition and all because of the affluence that they have. Well, the Word of God and the value that comes from these words is at work in our life, not by affluence, but by influence. The way in which this word forms your life in mind. The way in which these words change my life, changes your life, money cannot buy. You cannot put a price tag on the power of these words and their influence in your life and in mine mentally, socially, financially. Did I say mentally? If I did, it needs to be said again. Mentally, emotionally, sexually, in every way, my behavior, my thoughts, in every way that this word influences my life, money cannot even come close, even as he says, it's of more value than pure gold. And so, how now? Brown cow, how? How? And you know me, so I have a couple, yea, barely three things that I want to kind of focus on as we answer the question. Just three. Three things with very little commentary, I promise, but there'll be some. On how. So it's to help us sink our teeth into this whole thing of the power of every word. Now, I mean, haven't you ever said, seeing yourself in one of your rare moments, boy, I need to change. If you haven't said it, we seeing you in one of your rare moments, we said it for you. But we, you know, there's no one who knows me really, 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 being honest, better than I know myself. Really. Hard to admit sometimes, hard to accept. I'll fight you on it tooth and nail. Especially when it comes from those closest to us like our wives. But nevertheless, what a wonderful thing. You know, it's like I've often thought, well, I just wish there were a pill for that. You know, take the pill, you know, given it's time for the pill to assimilate into my system, done, there, bingo, wow. Don't you wish change could be that way sometimes? Yeah. Well, here's the deal. The power of every word that proceeds from the mouth of God works like that kind of pill in our lives to influence and change our life. It really does. Now, the caveat into that we have to see, or the wrench that's thrown into the cogs that may stop thinking like that, is it just might take a little time. Okay. But nevertheless, the power of every word is there. Oh, aren't you glad? I am so glad. It gives me hope. Rulowitz, there's hope for you. There's hope for you because of the power of every word. Now, how does it influence my life? How does it change me? Here's the first one. As I said, if you caught that, or we planned ahead a little bit, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, what better psalm to talk about the power of every word that proceeds from the mouth of God than the psalm of the word, Psalm 119. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, let alone the longest psalm. There's almost 200, let's see, there's 160 verses to just this one chapter, one psalm. Huh? Oh, did I misread that? Oh, I did. I forgot to keep going down. Why? Oh, yeah, 176. And so there are This is, we can aptly, you know, title this, I'm the Psalm of the Word. Okay? So I want to look at three verses in here as we talk about three ways we get value from every word. Proceeds from the mouth of God. Here's the first one. You ready? It changes me in that it is a deterrent to sin. A deterrent to sin. What's your driving like when you happen to notice in your rear view mirror that there's a cop following?
Yeah.
Do you, it's like, right, even if you are going the speed limit, it's like, ah, you know. And nobody drives as well as you do when there's a cop following behind you, right? Well, think of it in that way, that this word, that's not a bad thing. And look at verse, where are we? The first one is verse 11, Psalm 119, verse 11. All right, come on, 119, verse 11. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart. I've taken the time, doing my daily devotions. And more than just, you know, another notch on my, you know, religious belt to say, yeah, I did my thing today with God. No, I'm putting your word into my life. I'm letting it sink in. I'm hiding it there. And he says, so that it's finding a good place so that, you know, when I need it, it's going to show itself and it's going to do what? He says that I might not sin against you. So that hiding God's word in your heart will be a deterrent for you and for me to keep us from sin. That's what his word does. Now, if you're not doing that, guess what? You're easy prey. You're easy pickings. And so am I. So that's the first one, that his word is a deterrent to sin. Here's the second one. They all, there's an alliteration. They all, well, no, there is, alliteration. They all begin with D. The alliterative letter for today is from the alphabet, the fourth letter, D. Almost sounds like Sesame Street, remember? Is D. So the first is deterrent to sin. Here's the second one, and let's read it from verse 105 before I give a little bit of commentary. Verse 105. And this is, again, another famous verse from this Psalm of the Word, as is the first one. How many of you have heard that scripture verse before? That if you hide God's word in your heart, you'll be kept from sin. Have you heard that? Sure. It's very common. Here's a second common one. He says, I forgot. Let me back up. I forgot. Before I move on, I like the way the Message, Peterson in the Message, puts verse 11. He says, I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so I won't sin myself bankrupt. I like that. See? Because that's what sin does. Sin cheapens our lives and bankrupts us. But his word keeps the promises that we've. Anyways. So here it is. He says in verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now you've heard that. Your word. What do we mean to say by that? What's the next D? The next D is his word adds value to our lives in that it directs our every step in every situation. Now I'm thankful for GPS. And I'm thankful for GPS. Am I thankful for GPS? No? Thank God. And, you know, turn here, turn there, and gives us, you know, my GPS can almost scratch an itch on my head. It does everything. Tells me traffic, all this stuff. And think of God's word as GPS. Not global positioning system, but God's positioning system for your life. GPS. God's positioning system for your life. So that his word, this word, is designed to add this kind of value to your life and to mine. That by it, whatever the situation is, whatever it is, whatever the steps that you have to take, listen, there is nothing that can possibly be imagined that you would think or I would think, oh, that's too small. Everything. We can find, for every step, His direction for every situation right here. That's how that adds value to my life. And, you know, if I only listened to it. You know, if I only listened to it. I have, you know, said, well, you know, I've looked at a map, you know, I've Google Maps, bring it up, whatever, you know, I'm at home sitting at my desk, so I got it down. You know, so I go, only to find myself having to pull over and punch it in to, you know, my MapQuest on my phone because, you know, I'm just not sure, I forget, whatever. And His work will be like that for us. Save us from taking wrong turns. How many of you have been bitten by the bug of bad decisions? It's a bug not easily cured, huh? And so, what value it adds to our life, our lives? Before you make decisions, you say, God, as I'm doing my devotions, that there's this sense of, you know, I'm looking to build a foundation of my life of how to direct my steps. Lord, You have provided Your word to be a GPS for my life, to give direction to every step in every situation. And if it's followed, destination will be reached. You've arrived at your destination on the right. Oh, isn't that a nice sound? So that's the second one. Here's the third one. The third one is this, and, you know, save the best for last. You know, I mean no offense by this, because if you know me, you know me well enough to know that I'm right in there in the stupid boat with the rest of you. You know, we can be so dumb sometimes. Huh? And, you know, have you ever said to yourself, boy, you are so stupid. That was dumb. You know, it's like, yeah, I said, boy, you know, how many stupid pills did I take today? Wow. And here's the thing about God's word. It develops, third D, it develops our spiritual intelligence. Yeah, it does. Look at verse 130. Okay? 130. I love this verse. He says, verse 130, I'll wait till your eyes get to it. He says, the unfolding of your words gives light. The light of understanding. As your words become understandable to me, as your words become implanted within my brain, it gives light to me. Wow, I see. See, the metaphor is that when you're in the dark, you're what? You're pretty stupid about things. Yeah, well, I'm in the dark, you know, about that. You're just unaware. You don't know. But to be in the light is, oh, okay, you know, I got some clarity here. I see. And therefore, I got some smarts about me in dealing with this and saying that and working with this and working through that. And this is what he says. The unfolding of your words gives light. So this is the value that it's going to add to my life. And then he says it gives understanding. Nice way of saying it gives understanding to the stupid. Go ahead, write your name. Just cross out, you know, simple, put stupid, and then put your name right there. But seriously, though, he gives us understanding. When you read the epistles, and when you read the opening verses, one of the first things, you know, the writer does, the pastor does, he prays for the people that he's writing to, he says, I'm praying for your spiritual intelligence. That there is an understanding given to you by God. And here we're told that that understanding comes to you and me. There's a smarts that comes over us from God's word. We can never expect to know about God. We can never expect to know about what God has for our life for our lives, we can never expect to ferret out how it is that we engineer situations that come up that call for the wisdom of who? Solomon. Remember the wisdom of Solomon? Remember the wisdom that God gave him? Remember the wisdom? His words that God gave. We have the words of Solomon in Proverbs, in the Song of Solomon. The wisdom that God gave him, his words came to Solomon. Solomon had tremendous wisdom. Remember the two women who came to him and had two children? The one child got smothered. They all slept together in the same bed. They brought it before Solomon, and both were contending that the child was theirs. And Solomon pulled out a sword and said, I got the simple solution here. Now, who would have thought of that? Because I got a sword here. I'll just chop the child in half. You take half. You take half. The real mother pipes up and says what? No! Give the child to her. What wisdom? Where'd that come from? And you can bet your bottom dollar that the spiritual intelligence that we give situations that seem to baffle us, to baffle you. I can't tell you how many times that I have been befuddled. There have been situations. Man, it's like, I just don't see it. And then, in a flash, in a twinkling, it comes to me. A word, and I said something. It's like, wow, that's the answer. That's simple. Let's do that. And spiritual intelligence is given, and I find a way out. Because it comes. But it comes after having made, watch now, the investment in his word. And the value of it comes back to me in spiritual intelligence. So there you have it. The three things, what are they? To deter into sin. It will keep you. It will be a deterrent to you. That even if you do fall into sin, you're going there knowing, you're seeing all the signs. Stop. Red light. Don't go. Because that's how his word works. There's a power in his word. What's the next one? Directs our steps. We'll give you guidance in your life. We'll give you guidance. I can't go there. How many people are looking for guidance from their horoscope to the nearest fortune teller? What do they call them? To the, whatever they, yeah. How many people, you know? And but we got it. And then it develops our spiritual intelligence. You got it? Have you started your plan yet? Are you getting there? One of the ways in which I catch up when I might miss, I just read faster. Just read fast. When I miss today, I got 3 pages to catch up on. I'm reading fast. Say, where'd you get that? That's some spiritual intelligence right there. That's pretty fast. Are we good? Makes sense? Hey, wait, what did we speak about today? 3D. The power of every word. This is dangerous, right? Power. This is a powerful book. Yeah.
My translation on verse 130 is that as your plan unfolds, even the simple can understand.
I like that. Yeah, that's what his word, as his word begins, which he calls his plan, unfolds in our lives. And we get into it. Hey, you say, it's like, but I, you know, have, you know, I I'm not that smart. You know, I'm not that educated. Spiritual intelligence has very little to do with that. Very little to do with that. You could be as dumb as a wet dish rag. That's pretty dumb. But man, you get into his word, let his plan unfold in your life. Even you and your dumbness will get it. Even me and my dumbness will get it. Yeah. All right, let's stand together. I hope you get it. Get into his word. Next week, though we're done with our spiritual life week, I want to talk about, I think next week, God willing, to pray about it, but to see, to give some warning signs on how we read the word, okay? But anyways, use your Bibles this week. God, as we go our ways now, we're off and running, not only the rest of this day, but Monday's coming, another work week, stuff we got to be involved in. Lord, I pray that you really help us to get into your word, that your word might get into us. And that each one of us, Lord, in a special way this week, can feel its power at work. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.